did you guys realize that you wanted to make films? Well, when was that moment?
Oh, man.
Dude, you can tell them your moment, and then I'll tell them mine.
This is Stuart. Well, pretty much, man, for me, it's so long ago, I don't even know. Pretty much since, like, literally since as long as I can remember, like, I think I was about 4 years old when I first picked up my parents' VHS camera and started shooting, like, puppet shows and stuff like that in my living room. So, way back in the day.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I'm similar to Stu. I was probably, like, 8 years old when I picked up my first video camera. I found it buried in my mom's closet, and I just became addicted, and I started remaking little scenes from different movies as a kid, doing it daily, and then, you know, got really serious about it probably when I was, like, 13 years old.
Okay. Speaking of other films, you could quite possibly say that Grave Encounters is kind of, you know, it takes a page from famous, you know, horror films such as The Blair Witch Project, Quarantine, things like that. What other films do you think have kind of led the way for you to make this one?
Let's see. Well, one film that was actually, this is Stuart, that was the inspiration for us. Obviously, those films, yes, inspiration, but also there was a film that was made by the BBC in the early 80s, I think 81, called Ghost Watch, that was like this thing that they aired on Halloween night, where it was like supposed to be, they were claiming that it was happening live, and a camera crew goes into a house that's supposedly haunted, and then they end up capturing all sorts of crazy stuff that happens, and
it was way before its time.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, everyone talks about Blair Witch Project, but this thing really was way before Blair Witch Project. But that certainly served as a somewhat of an inspiration for us, the whole reality TV gone wrong with the supernatural element.
Okay, when I was watching the film, I felt there was a little bit of Romero in there as well, because, I mean, of course there's the scares, and you're legitimately scared as the film goes on, but it's more about, you know, how these people are responding to what's going on. Did George Romero kind of play a role in your development?
Oh, sure. Well, I know for me and for Colin, you know, obviously Romero is a huge inspiration, and all of those, you know, original horror guys, John Carpenter, Cronenberg, etc. But yeah, I can speak personally for myself, and I'm a huge Romero fan, so if that's trickling in there, I guess that makes sense.
There, for sure. I think naturally there is, if you're stepping into any sort of, you know, subject matter similar.
Okay, you guys spent 3 days before production just, you know, rehearsing through and letting the cast get to know one another. How important do you think that was in the overall, you know, production?
You want to take this, Stuart, or you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
I think the rehearsal on this film particularly, because is super critical, because when Stuart and I wrote the script, we wanted to allow for a lot of improvisation. We actually did have a full script for it, but the way that we wrote scenes was generally keeping things really wide open for the actors to bring a lot to the scene as well. So having those, you know, key days before on location really helped us fine-tune some of the more tricky stuff that we weren't sure if the writing would work within the framework of found footage, because obviously with found footage, the idea is to get it as real as possible and have the performances not remotely feel as if they're performances. You want to really buy into the reality of it. Otherwise, the illusion is totally lost. Stu and I made a conscious decision to allow for a lot of improvisation, and a lot of that was kind of fine-tuned and kinked during that time frame there.
Yeah, I definitely remember one scene in particular, one of the scenes in the lobby. We pretty much did right before we went to shoot it, as a result of the rehearsals, we ended up going back and, like, rewriting a big chunk of the scene, because when we saw it in the rehearsal, just certain parts of it didn't feel right or whatever, they didn't feel truthful, so we went and changed accordingly with what our actors were doing, definitely made the scene a lot better.
That was something that we did through the whole process of making the picture as well. I mean, seeing what you'd see the actors bring something new to the table, and Stu and I would be rewriting the film while we were shooting it, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay, considering how the film is shot, you know, with the handheld cameras and the low lighting and things like that, how important was it to have a solid director of, photography just to put everything together and kind of give the film that look that you wanted to have?
Yeah, I can take this with Stu. Stu and I had talked about the aesthetic a lot, and with found footage, we personally are all about less is more, and keeping things not lit and throwing everything into the darkness and really relying on essentially a few lights to create the illusion that, you know, what you're seeing is real, and not try to make pretty images that remotely look like Hollywood. So we definitely had a really clear sense of the visual that we wanted to accomplish with this film. We were a big fan of the aesthetic that Wreck actually had, and it's a borderline between feeling authentic but still feeling studio enough, and we wanted to achieve that kind of feel versus a more slick Cloverfield kind of thing. So we actually intentionally we tested several cameras before we went and shot this picture, and decided on some lesser quality stuff than we obviously had the options of choosing. So on that level, the visuals, the director of photography essentially is extremely critical. But most of the film was actually photographed by myself and Stuart and the cast as well.
So how difficult was that to have actors filming some of the scenes that you look back and say, oh, they said what they were supposed to say, the action's there, but oh, they didn't frame it right, something like that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's particular scenes where we really wanted it to feel very raw, and we were okay with certain things being said off camera. There's one particular scene where they're lost, and I remember Stu and I just said, you know what, let's not shoot this scene at all, let's just rely on their cameras, and it's gonna have an extremely realistic feel to it. If it's really easy to shoot it too nicely with this kind of format, because the aesthetic plays hand in hand with it being rough around the edges, and extremely rough around the edges. So the best way to do that in some cases is to allow the talent to actually film it. But we were definitely there guiding that process and seeing everything, and if we didn't see what we wanted to see in the monitor, you know, we'd make sure we'd see it on the next take.
Okay, what type of camera did you end up using, and what program did you use to edit the film?
Do you want
to go? It's on an HVX 200.
The majority.
Yeah, we had it in Final Cut.
And there's actually some lower grade. The night vision stuff is... What is that? I don't even know what camera that is. It's DV camera.
We had to go on a hunt because we knew that we wanted to shoot a lot of the movie in the night vision mode, as they really do on a lot of these ghost hunting shows that we're obviously inspired by. And we found that there's a very small amount of these cameras that could shoot night vision that were actually HD. It's really not a professional feature at all, and would usually only pop up on lower res SD cameras. But we found these, I can't remember what they were, Panasonic, maybe Sony, I can't remember, but we got two of them for the shoot. They were HDV cameras.
Right, yeah, they were HDV.
Okay, the only reason why I say is because, I'm sure if you guys know, but, True Grit, the new Jeff Bridges film, was also, you know, edited on Final Cut, and it's just kind of a testament that you guys probably have a MacBook Pro or something like that, some good camera equipment, you know, and a great vision, and you're able to create a very solid film. I mean, I think it's crazy to think about how much film has changed over the past 20 years.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. If you could see the place that we cut this movie in, you would laugh. I mean, Stu and I cut it in my living room, hunched over a coffee table on an old like Mac. Like it's low budget filmmaking at its core.
Most of the all of the effects were pretty much the visual effects were
like pretty much done on my just tiny MacBook Pro that has like a 13-inch screen. And I was just using a trackpad for most of the time. I didn't even have a real mouse.
Well, let's go from you know, the production side to a little bit different. As far as the actors go, you're kind of trying to project that these are, you know, show hosts or people that work with the show, so they can't, you know, you couldn't have gotten, you know, Seth Rogen for this film, or like Jennifer Carpenter or somebody like that. You know, you needed to go and get someone that the audience hasn't seen, and at the same time, you need to get solid actors. How hard was that?
Dude, why don't you talk about the audition process for Lance and how difficult it was to find the right guy for that?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, I should give a shout out to our casting director, Laura Brooke, who did who really helped us a lot, and we owe her very much because she was able to pull in some awesome talent. But yeah, like for the lead of Lance, that was interesting. That was a hard role to cast because you know, there's a couple different things that are required from that role. First of all, he has to be like a, you know, kind of this cheesy host guy for the beginning of the movie. But then as the movie goes on, he has to basically transition to be a, you know, a capable, really good dramatic actor, basically, who goes from being just this just cheesy host guy who's completely skeptical of the whole ghost thing. And obviously he's not a believer whatsoever. And by the end, he's definitely believing it. So that was a tough role because we saw a lot of people that could, you know, get one part of that equation right, but couldn't get the other. We did guys that were great at being cheesy as hell, but then when you needed them to, you know, actually get down dirty and be, you know, give a good dramatic performance, they couldn't really do it. And then vice versa, we get guys that were great at the dramatic thing, but then, you know, they don't understand the notion of, like, being cheesy and being bad. So it was tough, but then, and we actually didn't even see Sean Rogerson, who ultimately we did cast. We never actually saw him like face to face. He sent us an audition that he taped himself from the sides that we had provided, and we got a video in our email, and it was just of him. He had recorded like a scene basically in the bathroom. There were two scenes, one of him doing the host thing, and then one from way later in the film when he's in the tunnel. And we saw that, you know, we saw that just one time, and we looked at each other, and we were just like, this is the guy, because it was so good. The audition was so awesome.
Okay, the film's going to be screening at Tribeca in a couple of weeks. For people that, you know, are going to go there as just, you know, regular patrons and not the media, and they see Grave Encounters, what's this about? How would you guys kind of sell the film to them? How would you kind of pitch it to them?
I personally, I would say that I think most of America has by now at least seen some form of ghost hunting reality television, as that's really become a fad in the past few years. And one of the reasons why Stu and I thought it would make for a perfect found footage film, just because those films, or those television shows, sorry, they tend to disappoint in the sense that you're constantly left hoping that you can catch a ghost on camera. And this film delivers everything that you want those television shows to deliver, plus a whole lot more. And I think for anyone that's a fan of horror and a fan of those reality shows, they're gonna love this picture.